passé dimanche après-midi. Toi, t'as passé d'aller ta mère en pleurant. Tu m'avais fait des promesses. Oh, tu m'aimes, négro, des promesses que tu m'as fait. Tout ça, c'était pas vrai. Oh!
Yeah,
I'll
just be cutting
it over here. They're picking up of us, huh? Put that down. Okay. Ho, ho! Ho, ho! Brrr. Ho, ho! Ho, ho! Ho, ho! Brrr.
What a dog, what a dog, what a dog,
what a dog.
That dog is mad,
that dog is mad.
That dog's gonna bite,
that
ho!
That dog's gonna bite.
Ho, ho! Ho, ho! Brrr. Ho, ho! Ho, ho! Brrr.
Oh! Hey, go on and get the shell up. Le chien va de mort.
Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho.
What that dog, what is that dog? What that dog,
what is that dog?
That dog is mad.
That dog is mad.
That dog gonna bite.
That dog gonna bite.
Ho, ho.
Get the shell out.
Get the shell out.
Eat it for steak.
Eat it for steak.
What that dog,
what that dog?
Dog is mad.
Yeah.
Ho, ho,
ho, ho. Hey, dog. What you feed that dog, Goldman? That's a real poor dog.
Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho,
ho, ho.
Ho, 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 ho.
That dog.
Ho, ho,
ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
And we are live from the Blue Moon Saloon for Archive Aid 9. We're on the front porch with Goldman, Thibodeau, and friends. A little bit of crackle there. So we hear the Rec Street Rounders rounding up out there, getting on stage and practicing their drums, making a sound check. Jennifer Ritter-Guidry from the Center for Culture and Ecotourism here with me. Archive Aid 9 is a crucial part of the work that they do. All the archive aids have been. It really helps to support the work that you all do there in the archives, and we're hoping that you will come out tonight to help support the archives. And again, just remind us why it's so important, Jennifer.
Well, the archives are our own. It's the body of knowledge and cultural experience that we have here in South Louisiana, as well as Louisiana in the larger context, the state, as well as going all the way back to the Louisiana Purchase region, because we do cover the colonial period and the entire Louisiana Purchase region. So it's a wealth of knowledge, and it's important to preserve it and make it available to students, researchers, and just interested individuals such as musicians and other people who utilize the archives on a daily basis. I think we're going to go ahead and play a track off of our new CD will be available at Festivals Acadia et Creole next month. This is from the Balfa Family Retrospective, and this is The Real Dinoc Will.
Song we learned from Uncle Will Bofa. He was the oldest of the Bofa brothers, and he was a mighty fine fiddler and wrote a lot of great tunes. And this is just a simple little tune that has a great little groove that we love to play. So something called The Real Dinoc Will.
That was from a recording that is going to be put out by the Cajun and Creole Archives. With this as a benefit, Archive Aid 9 for the Cajun and Creole Archives. We're here in the kitchen of the Blue Moon Saloon, encouraging you to come down. And you don't have to come in the kitchen. You can be outside listening to the great music. Just finishing up Goldman Thibodeau on the front porch. And we were listening to that wonderful recording in anticipation now of the Rex Street Rounders, who are getting ready on the main stage.
That's right. Thank you so much, Judith, for joining us this evening. And we want to thank everybody out there in the listening audience for joining us as well. If you're in town, please join us. We have food, a dessert as well as the music this evening. It's going to be a great evening, and you have plenty of time to get down here. The weather is cooperating. It's just quite lovely this evening. Thank you
yes.
so much.
And got some great KRVS people in here, too, Bill Bolens. And Bill is very central to some of the work being done at the archives right now. Work that you'd been recording for years, Bill, is now going to be put out on a CD. Tell us about that music and which pieces they're using. And again, Bill Bolens is here, and Raul Brode.
Okay, I can hear myself now.
I know, it's not the KRVS studios, it's the Blue Moon Kitchen. But So you've been recording the Cajun and Creole Music Festival for a number of years.
What I did was I started recording in 1991 and recorded off of KRVS air signal from 1991 to 1997 for no other reason than because I like Cajun music and, hey, I've got an archive.
And you love music.
To this.
That's right.
Yes,
exactly.
Like that.
And those happened to be some years where there was no official recording.
Yeah,
of
there
the
was
festival.
Nobody was recording it that mm-hmm. I know of, possibly the sound man
right.
that did
we were carrying
front
of house it live,
sound,
but
we carried it live and I taped it off mm-hmm. the radio and it turned out to be a big hole in the archives, which I'm glad to be able to help fill.
Right,
and leave a little bit more room in my living room.
That's right. Well, that's just one of many examples. As Jennifer was saying, this is a great opportunity if you do have recordings, if you have recordings and maybe family movies or whatever that you would like to share with the archives, perhaps get copies made and they can be archived and perhaps used, whether it's documentary film, whether it's CDs, whether it's academics who are looking for information for a paper. It's invaluable information in the archives.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to. I'm assuming you'll be able
them.
To go into the yes. into the archives and listen to what's there if you want.
Exactly.
And is there video also involved? In the archives?
They do have film. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you help if you come down tonight and help support, you help the archives maintain the collections that they have, not only keep them in good condition, but continue to put them in the most contemporary form. Right now they're digitizing all of their mm-hmm. films and recordings and photographs and just making sure that they're available for everyone. We are about to go to the main stage, the Rex Street Rounders at the Blue Moon Saloon, playing in support of the Cajun and Creole Archives. You can support them as well. Please come on down this evening. But tell your friends far away. They can listen on KRVS. And I know we're
yeah,
going
to
that
any listener, internet listeners out there that we may have, here at the Blue be it here in the local area or even...
I want to remind you
oh, we're going outside. Go.
Around the side, there's jambalaya, corn mock shoe, and bread pudding, which is awesome. You need to go get some of that. Right now on stage, I want to introduce the Rex Street Rounders. Everybody give it up for them, please. But you are too, and don't I take good care?
thanks everybody for coming out. If you don't know, we are a collection of historians. We know a lot about archives. We spend most of our lives in archives. And we're glad to see you out here supporting the archives of Cajun and Creole folklore. I'll introduce the band in a little while. At first, we might open the dance floor for some waltzers. We're going to play an old Hank Williams tune. Don't everybody run away. Got on the banks of the old Pontchartrain. Over here to my right, on lead guitar, John Troutman.
Oh, thanks. So when Michael, the director of the Center for Louisiana Studies, Dr. Michael Martin here, and one of my esteemed colleagues, talked about this idea of us getting together as members of the history department to put a band together for the event, we decided we'd try to base the song selections off of songs related to Louisiana one way or another. And I thought, well, about 15 years ago, I did write a song sort of about Louisiana that I thought we could play. I wrote it long before I ever had any idea that I would actually end up living here. I grew up in Alabama, and I was driving from Alabama to Texas one day over the Basin Bridge. At that time, I had no idea how how to begin to pronounce Chafalaya Bridge Basin, but I was on I-10 and I was crossing over the bayou and kind of got inspired for this song idea, so I figured we'd break it out and see how it goes. We'll see.
right, that was Tiger Truck Stop by Dr. John Troutman. All right, we're going to invite up a friend of ours. This is Dan Adams. Dan's a historian, a geographer, teaches out at Rain High School. And he's going to sing a song for us that was written by his father.
This song is about Ike Miller, who is my great-great-great-grandfather.
There's your answer.
And he was kind of part of our family folklore and mythology about what he did to survive during the Civil War.
right, Dan Adams, y'all. All right, we've got another special guest somewhere out there. Pearson Cross. Those who don't know Pearson, he is a master of the piano and a master of political science. Actually, a doctor of political science, right? A wizard of political science. I'll say that. All right, while we're getting set up here, I'm going to introduce the rest of the band. Back here on bass, Dr. Warlock himself, Chad Parker. And on the drums, the boss man, the Dean, Jordan Kelman. Professor Longhair song. It's a Professor Longhair song, but it's about something you may be familiar with that was manufactured just down the street from here at the Happy Day Company. Had a Call Patent Medicine by Cousin Dud LeBlanc. This is called the Had a Call Bounce. Thank you. Thank y'all.
And we're live here at the Blue Moon Saloon. This is Archive 8-9. You were just listening to the Rec Street Rounders. And, of course, that refers to Rec Street, where Griffin Hall is. All of these are history professors who moonlight as musicians. This is a benefit for the Cajun and Creole Archives here at UL Lafayette. And with me in the kitchen studio is Chris Segura, who is chef this evening. He is an archivist at the Cajun and Creole Archives at the Center for Louisiana Studies. But tonight you're wearing your chef hat. We can all imagine you in your chef hat. Oh. Oh, and you have been running around. I just watched you masterfully cut some sausage faster than I've seen anyone cut sausage for that third round, I guess, of jambalaya.
Third and possibly the final round. So.
So did you learn to be a musician first or a chef first, Chris?
Well, I started playing fiddle at the age of four. I wouldn't have called myself a musician at that point, mm-hmm. but you know, I guess whenever I started playing with other people, I was around 11 or 12. So,
and that would have been Fafale?
Yeah. Yes. Well, early versions of it.
Early versions, early manifestations of it. In addition to being an archivist, you are definitely a musician. You play with Fafale, Lafayette Rhythm Devils. Any other groups that you're involved with?
None full time. Mm-hmm. Fill in here and there with, you know, a few people.
But. You're in great demand as a fill-in, masterful musician. Well, you know, you started off very young as a musician, and one of the things we've been talking about with the archives and how beneficial it is to musicians is that many young musicians are mining the archives for material, both music and lyrics. When did you all start doing that?
Well, we were introduced by the archives whenever we were introduced to the archives. I'm sorry, I'm kind of crazy right now.
Too much chopping of sausage.
We were introduced to the archives pretty early. I would say we were working on our second CD, which would have been in 2000. So, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. Whenever we made our first trip in there and realized what, you know, what a wealth of material and great information was in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So really, ever since then, we've been just
you've been
totally enthralled with it. So.
Well, tell us about those first songs that you wrote because of material you found in the archives.
Well, I don't really write anything. I've never written a song. Mm-hmm.
Or some of the songs you've recorded.
We've recorded quite a few that mm-hmm. we found, mm-hmm. you know, especially from the Lomax recordings from when John and Alan Lomax came to South Louisiana in the early 30s. The ones that stick out to me are the recordings of the Hoffpower sisters in New Iberia that sang some of the most beautiful ballads. And whenever we first heard those, it was just like, okay, this is cool, you know? And the fact that there's no music behind these things, it's just the melody and the lyrics, means that you can go in the studio without any idea, any clue what you're going to do, you know? But you have the words and you have a basic melody, so you have free rein, really, just to play around and come up with something that works for the mood of the song. And
so many of those recordings were just a cappella.
Yep.
Women singing.
Most of the ones that we're attracted to in there are
a cappella.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really one of the things that is so beautiful about Fafale's repertoire right now is you don't back away from those beautiful ballad pieces. It's not just a dance band, that you're really looking for the beauty of some of those slower, more soulful songs.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing about a lot of those tunes are that, you know, it's not just an A part and a B part with those, with, you know, simple chord structures. It's like some of these things are crazy, you know, they go all over the place, they're very crooked and, mm-hmm, you know, so mm-hmm. it's neat.
Well, and again, thanks to the archives, young bands like Fafale are finding new old material mm-hmm. and making it available to all of us. Otherwise, it might have been, not only had they not recorded it and archived it here, but for people like yourself going in there searching for it, it could be lost to so many of us.
Yeah.
So the Cajun Creole Archives, an invaluable resource here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette in the Center for Louisiana Studies. This is a benefit tonight for those archives, for generations of young musicians and groups like Fafale to have access to. If you come tonight, you can help support those. With me here in the KRVS Blue Moon Kitchen Studio, James Hebert, just arriving from the KRVS studios, Chris Segura, archivist at CSET, Jennifer Ritter-Guidry with CSET, and again under the umbrella of the Center for Louisiana Studies. You can kind of hear in the background the Rec Street Rounders are rounding it out, wrapping it up on the main stage, and next will be the Malfacteurs. So if people will hurry up. You can get here. I think there's still jambalaya cooking that Chris has been chopping for. So there's a batch cooking, and I think I heard you say there's even some material for a further jambalaya.
Possibly.
So get down here. It's a wonderful event and a really great cause to support. Our culture is so valuable, but without the work of the archives, so much of it would just be lost forever. And not just musicians like Chris Segura and Fufule, but scholars and filmmakers and people just trying to find information out about their culture. Architects go in there looking for ideas. People just interested in the environment. There's so much that exists there that we use all the time. And I know that you all are very busy making sure that those materials are preserved. Mm-hmm. And then you also digitize them.
Right.
Is that one of the things that you do there?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mainly, I mainly focus on the audio collections, mm-hmm. and John focuses on the video and photograph stuff.
And what's involved in that?
Well,
it's pretty meticulous.
Number one is that we don't want to harm these original materials in any way. So that's the first step, is just assessing that, you know, what we're going to put them through is not going to cause any damage.
So that the original materials will stay there as long as you can preserve them.
As long as we possibly can, yeah.
But you're making these copies as well.
So, you know, once we do digitize these things, they're done at a, you know, an international archival standard, really high resolution, and, you know, we store them in several different locations, you know, so that if anything crazy ever happens, that, you know, they will be there in some form.
Right. And I mean, is temperature control an issue for some of these tapes? And
well, in the office where we're at, it's not too big of a deal, but, you know, ideally, if we had the money, I would really love a complete temperature controlled locker, basically. Mm-hmm. I went to the Acadian Archive in Moncton, New Brunswick, and they've got this vault. It's a fireproof vault that, you know, they've got complete control over, and I was just totally...
Yeah, like, you really wished we could have one too. Well, with the help of our people who are coming tonight and listeners right now who may be coming down later, perhaps someday we'll have that fireproof vault where it's temperature controlled and our culture will be just as well guarded as the Acadians up north. So hopefully you'll come on down and help to support. And of course, you can always find out information about supporting the archives. You can call or go to the website. What's the best place to find information on the web?
You can go to cset.louisiana.edu, and there's a link to the archive on that website. Mm-hmm. We've also got a Facebook page, a MySpace page.
Lots of ways to keep in touch and find out more. And certainly if you'd like to discuss how things are being done there, or you'd like to lend your support at any time in any way, they would be glad to talk with you about that at the archives. But for the moment, you can come down tonight and help to support the archives, listen to some great music, enjoy the jambalaya, and just get to chat with all of these people who really care about culture. I know James Hebert is joining us here. I'm sure you saw quite a few people who are out there right now. I saw quite a few folklorists, musicians, just a lot of great cultural people out there. I know we have a piece right now from a CD that you all are about to put out, material from the archives, collected from the Balfa family recordings, I guess, over many years.
Yeah, all done at Festival Zakaria. So it's a live compilation going back as far as 1977 up to 2010. So, you know, it's a retrospective of what that family has done, starting with, we do have a few recordings of all of the original Balfa brothers onto, you know, what they called the Balfa Brotherhood in the early 80s, mm-hmm. after a couple of the brothers were lost in that accident. Mm-hmm. And then all the way to, you know, Christine's incarnation of Balfa Toujours with her sister and Courtney Granger and all of them.
So. Right. And, of course, all material from the archives. That CD will be available, I think, for Festivals Acadien et Creole. And we're going to listen to a cut right now. This is the Pine Grove Blues.
Pine Grove Blues with Robert Jardel on accordion, Dewey Balfa on fiddle, and this one is from 1981.
Okay, we have a little thing. Pardon, parlons en anglais, je devrais parler en français. Je suis ni anglais ni français, je suis justement franglais. Ça fait, on va jouer une petite chanson qu'on appelle le Pine Grove Blues. All right.
Thank you. James Hebert back here with you live at the Blue Moon Saloon here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. I just walked in. I was over at the KRVS studios and just drove over from the campus over to the Blue Moon down here in downtown Lafayette, inviting everyone to come down. It's still early, Saint Bonheur, for everyone to get together and enjoy some fresh jambalaya from Chris Segura, who I can smell the garlic on his fingertips. As
oh,
he's
look,
sitting
that's really
next
good jambalaya, and so is the mokshu, too.
And so you are invited to join us here at the Blue Moon Saloon in celebration of our Cajun and Creole heritage in the form of a fundraiser, a benefit for CSET, the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. We're all so proud to be here as part of this live musical and food and fun event. And Judith was asking me as I walked in about the crowd, and I said, I don't know, I just tried to get to the front door because every 10 feet I have to stop and veille with somebody. And it's just that sense of community that's here this evening, everybody in support of CSET coming out to support this great archival effort. And as Chris was saying earlier, there are many archival recordings that need to be preserved. There's a way that this is done in the industry and the standard of preserving this music and these videos. And so we are here to get the word out that you can support this effort through your support of CSET, and you can go to the CSET website if you would like to learn more about that. And in that spirit, we are here sitting with Bill Bolins, the producer of KRVS's Dirty Rice, every other week.
Every other week, Mr. Lee Klein, Peter, Lee Klein, is the Peter. the host on the opposite week.
And Bill happens to live in Baton Rouge, but we're not going to hold that really against you, Bill. I mean, you do.
Well, thank you. I'm from Opelousas,
yes,
bro.
So that's why.
I may live in the capital of the Banana Republic, but I'm from Opelousas.
So Bill makes the journey across the little pond, the basin, every other week to be with us, and actually any time that he can to be with us, either recording his show or doing it live in the studio. And Bill is just very passionate about Louisiana music. And if you listen to, and we hope that you do listen to Dirty Rice every week, you know what I'm talking about. But Bill's also a very enthusiastic and prolific sound recorder. And over the years, you've archived KRVS's broadcast of Festival de Musique Acadienne, and
exactly,
now Festival de Musique Acadienne et Creole. And tell us about that story. And if listeners aren't familiar with Festivals Acadienne, of course, that's the annual festival in Girard Park. Barry Ancelet and Pat Mould developing this festival over the years with the Lafayette JCs, and now it's a festival unto itself. And Bill recording all the KRVS broadcast and then coming back with this archived recording.
Yeah, that was I recorded all that from, actually I was going to start in 1990, but my I recorded all this on a hi-fi videotape deck. Y'all remember VCRs? Yeah, I used a VCR as a six-hour cassette deck and would just set it to go, set it to record, and come over to the festival. And I did that from 1991 to 1997. In 1990, my VCR was broken, so I couldn't tape Boozoo. I would love to have Boozoo. I think we got Boozoo. Boozoo should be in the archive somewhere.
We probably have a lot of his stuff from both that.
Well, we got
and
it from
Zydeco
we
Festival.
Have it from Zydeco Festival.
Yeah,
but I think that was the only time I know of that Boozoo played out at Festival Acadienne's.
Okay.
We have a recording from 86 or 87.
Okay, 86 cool. or 87, yeah. Chris cool is letting us know.
Yeah.
Really
cool. Yeah, and he did have those panties for sale that day, you know, take them off,
throw them in the corner.
So no, I didn't buy any.
So at that time, the best quality recording you could get in that long format was from a VHS hi-fi audio, and many people...
Hi-fi videotapes, yeah.
Yeah,
the
so
audio
you actually just recorded it to videotape.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you could have done the same thing with reel-to-reel, but I don't know if you would have got 6 hours out of it.
Right, it was at that speed that you could get that recording. So you went through all of this stuff.
Yeah, I basically recorded it for my own personal gratification. Having a serious Cajun RV from growing up in Opelousas and getting infected with that on KSLO and that in the real hardcore honky tonk country gene. You know, Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette and Buck Owens and Johnny Cash and all those people.